Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also ask you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all of these radio programs and MP3 files. You will also see a host of other Bible-related material that can aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods, worship periods, at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. A few months ago, we began the examination of great Bible examples. We want to continue that in the month of October, and we're going to begin today talking about Gideon. The book of Joshua closes by telling us that he left the people of God with the choice to make. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for you yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. Israel remained faithful all the days of Joshua's life, and all the elders that outlived Joshua, according to Joshua 24, 31. What a good influence all of them had, especially Joshua, on God's people. Israel went into a period of needing effective leadership. Remember, God never left them alone. They left him. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Judges 17, verse 6. This was one of the most up and down episodes in the history of the Israelite nation, this period of time called the Judges. Many turned to idolatry. What did God do? He sent oppressors to overtake them, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the Philistines, and others. For 7 years they came in from the deserts of Arabia into Canaan to steal their livestock and plunder all their ripened harvest of their grain. What did he do? They hid in the mountains and caves, trying to hide supplies wherever they could. Finally, like their pattern has shown, they cried to God for deliverance. God would send them men as judges to deliver them. For a time, they would be faithful, while the judge lived. When he died, right back to the same spiritual pig pen of sin, they would go. One of the men who was given over to idolatry was a man named Joash of the tribe of Manasseh. But he had a son named Gideon. One day he was threshing the grain in the wine press to hide it from the enemy. It was here that Gideon received his call to save God's people. He was totally convinced at first. He was not totally convinced at first that he was really being called by God, much like Moses, and that he was the man for the job. He wasn't convinced. More space is devoted to him in the book of Judges than any of the other judges of Israel. His personal struggles with his own faith are recorded for our study and reading. Gideon can teach us many lessons. We want to examine the message of the champion of obedience. Gideon receives a call from God in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 24. Resting from his labors, he saw what he thought was a man sitting under a large oak tree, watching him work. Who was he? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Verse number 12. What question did he ask? "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Verse 13. Gideon should have known the answer to this question. Who had forsaken whom? How did God respond? Go into this mind of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, for I have sent you. Verse number 14. Gideon was very like many today, knowing someone needed to do something, but not wanting to be that someone. He wanted a miracle and a quick fix. Why couldn't God use him to accomplish the need? What did Gideon begin to do? He began to do what many do. He began to make excuses. Why? Why did he make excuses? Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Verse 15. Does God need one to come from a wealthy background, respected with great social status, to do his will? God's questions are simple. Are you willing to serve? Gideon was still cautious. What did he desire from the Lord? If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. Verse 17. I want to do something. Why ask for the Lord's help if one doesn't really want the help? Did God give him a sign? The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of it, of the rock, and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, verse 20 and 21. This convinced Gideon. He built an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom, which means Jehovah is peace, in verse 24. Gideon's first real test came in Judges 6, verse 25 through 32. Gideon received a message that night. It was a severe test of obedience. Take your father's young bull, second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the image which you shall cut down, verses 25 and 26. The altar of Baal were made with elaborate stones, and they were situated next to the Ashtoreth, the female goddess who was a consort of Baal, built upon a high place on a pole where the people could easily see it. Idolatry was strictly forbidden in the law of God in Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5. By fulfilling this command, he would be going against his family and his friends. Was Gideon afraid? When did he accomplish it? He did it in the darkness of night, according to verse 27. What did the people do when they awoke and found Baal was torn down? So they said to one another, who has done this? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men in the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the woman, the wooden image that was beside of it, in verse 29 and 30. Who defended him? His father, Joash, who had built the altar. But Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Verse 31. If Baal is angry, let him bring punishment against Gideon. Gideon received the name, Baal's antagonist, in verse 32. Gideon received assurance from God that he was with him, in verse number 33 through 40. The armies of Midianites and the Amalekites were banding together for an attack. With an army of 135,000 soldiers, the Bible described them as a horde of locusts in Judges 7, 12, and verse, chapter 8, and verse 10. Their tents were pitched in the valley of Jezreel in the plain of Esdraelon in chapter 6, verse 33. Many other battles were fought here. 50 years earlier, Deborah and Barak had defeated Sisera in Judges 4, 15 through 24. Much later, a younger reformer, a king named Josiah, met his death fighting the Egyptians there in 2 Chronicles 35, 22 through 24. Gideon was still a doubting deliverer. He blew the trumpet and 32,000 men from Manasseh, Asher, and Zebulun and Naphtali assembled in chapter 7 and verse 3. He was still doubtful. Is this a bad thing? Too many people are willing to accept anything as the will of God without investigating it. When they are shown the truth, they refuse to obey it. What makes our success assured? What makes our success assured? Our abilities alone? Never. Only that God is with us, and our attitude is we can do all things through Him. Philippians 4:13, and we walk by faith and not by sight. What did Gideon desire? He wanted another sign. Was this a lack of faith in God or a lack of faith in himself? If you save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry all around the ground, then I shall know that you have saved Israel from my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out the dew of the fleece in a bowl full of water. Verses 36 through 38. But still unsure of himself, he asked God for one more to test in verse 39. Could we be weak of faith like Gideon? If God desires me to do one thing, but I want another, am I not questioning his wisdom? A sign was given to him again in verse 40. Now, how inferior were his forces by numbers 135 to 32,000? Seems like he's outnumbered. What did God tell him? And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are with you too many to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim for himself, saying, in my own hand saved me. God told him to send the fearful away. 22,000 went home. That left him 10,000, still too many in Judges 7, 3 and 4. God said there were too many. Is Gideon asking for more signs? Or is he disputing God's wisdom about the number needed for the battle? How would Gideon arrive at a final number? So he brought the people down in the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, he shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who laps, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down the water to knees to drink water. God told Gideon that the 300 men would be sufficient to give him the victory over the Midianites. How could 300 defeat 135,000? What are the numbers which we are talking about which concern God? God and one make a majority. Is bigger always better? Not necessarily so. Gideon received additional assurance from his enemies in chapter 7, verse 9 through 11. And how did this help Gideon? And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of the Midianites, and he came in the tent and struck it so it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but a sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was then that Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hands. And that's exactly what happened. With 300 men, he was able to defeat an army of 135,000. Why? Because he was obedient to God. His faith wavered, but when his faith was strengthened by God, he did what God told him. That's what we must do. Believe God, trust God, obey God, and it will all work out. Our faith needs to be in God. He can use us to do great things if we trust Him, but we must, at all costs, obey Him. Thank you for listening.